Welcome back to Beholder to No One, a TTRPG podcast. Today we are here with the absolute last episode, probably, maybe, we might, I don't know. But we're just here to discuss with everybody from the Mistbreaker crew, but also our DM, about Clearlight in general. So, spoiler alert, if you haven't finished Clearlight, there may be spoilers in this episode. You have been warned.
Yeah, there's 100% spoilers. It's not maybe spoilers. I will spoil things.
You have been warned now.
Right. All your listeners, all listeners, please take a quick look behind you to make sure Simon is not there.
Simon's always behind you. All right. So, yes, last week we had a discussion with Ryan, specifically only, where we got a little bit nitty gritty into the details of the background. But now let's see what everybody else thought.
Right. I do want to talk to you all, you know, answer any questions you have about the game. Just see what. There's probably some things I'm going to have to make up for this, but I do have one last little thing that I wanted to do. I had planned to put it in the actual game, but I got sort of swept up in everything else that was happening and I forgot it. It's just like a quick little scene that I wanted to include. Think of this as like bonus epilogue episode. It's going to take like 3 minutes. Okay.
We get director's cut scenes.
Yeah. This is the deleted scene. This is not the theatrical cut.
Is the director commentary on? Can we all speak over you while you're doing this?
not for this one. That's only for the top tier patrons.
Mm-hmm.
But Emmy, it's been a few days since your triumphant return to the city. You've already been labeled a hero by some and a betrayer by others for the sunlight that streams in through the gap in the clouds on the horizon. You've been hard at work teaching others the method that you learned that helped the forlorn wretches outside the walls. The efforts at organizing more forays out into the mist to start the long process of healing this world have you a bit exhausted, and so you are taking a short break before you start a new day. The sounds of the early morning hustle and bustle outside your lab seem far away as you enjoy a quiet morning with Alphonse. You fell asleep in your office again last night, and he has brought you some of his very expensive coffee. Ew. It's nice. Then you hear a knock at the door. Alphonse gives you a puzzled look. Are you expecting someone this early in the morning?
I don't think so. Maybe we should probably get it, though.
So you stand up, walk over to the door to your office, and open it, and you see two members of the internal security here in Clearlight. Two police officers, essentially. They're both dressed in sort of like they don't have their weapons drawn or anything like that. They're just standing, looking almost a little bit apologetic as they stand in your doorway. The larger of the two, human woman with long black hair, says, "Hello, pardon us, Mr. Frankincense. We have a couple of questions for you about an incident that happened a few days ago, and we were wondering if we'd have just a little bit of your time."
Oh, I mean, yeah, I'm just running some tests back here, but I'm free.
All right, may we come in?
Oh, yes, sorry. Can you, Alphonse, can you prepare some coffee for our guests also?
Sure thing. I don't have any on here with me, but I can go back to my office where I was brewing it, and I will be back momentarily.
Oh, thank you, sweetie. And he gives him like a little kiss on his cheek.
He gives you a look rushes off to get some more coffee for the two police officers who take seats in front in the two chairs across from your office. These rarely get used. In fact,
for a while, it's been only Alphonse, and even that was a new thing. People rarely come to see you in your office, but now you're getting to finally use all this furniture. and you plop yourself back into your seat, I assume, I didn't even describe the other person. A halfling gentleman pulls out a little notebook that he has and clears his throat. So we wanted to talk to you because there was something was stolen from a local hospital. And we were wondering if you knew anything about it. You see, there... a woman named Geria Malfoon, I'm not sure if you're familiar with her, says that she was charmed into giving up some official records from the hospital, and the person who charmed her, the only information we have is the name Laura. And that is likely not an actual, that's probably a pseudonym. It's probably not the person's actual name. And we believe that that person may also have been disguised as well, magically, I mean. But a witness in the area says that they saw you speaking to this Laura shortly before she went in and charmed Miss Malfoon, Dr. Malfoon. And we were wondering if you know anyone who's been disguising themselves, going by Laura, if you remember anything about this incident, about that day, anything you could share with us at all.
I mean, I do remember a Laura, but that's all I knew her as.
All right. And you've never seen that person before that day?
No, I have not.
All right. And you didn't, what were you speaking to Laura about?
She was just asking for directions. And since I frequent that hospital, I was able to tell her where to go, but she was just asking where a certain office was, and I told her, and that's pretty much the extent of our conversation.
All right, then. Well, he sort of like claps his notebook shut, looking frustrated. Well, we're gonna have to keep it up.
I couldn't have been more help.
It's fine. That who knows? That could end up being helpful. At least we know this person doesn't know the hospital. They were asking for directions. So that's something. Every little bit of information counts. So he hops down out of the chair onto the ground. That is all I wanted to talk to you about. If you do remember anything about the incident that day, please feel free to contact me. He reach up and he's puts a business card on your desk and backs away from the desk so that he can see you again, and says, that's all I wanted to talk to you about, so I'm gonna let you go. And right at that moment, Alphonse comes in with two more cups of coffee. All right, I've got two more cups for our guests today. The woman stands up and says, "Oh, I'm terribly sorry. We were just leaving. We don't have we do have more investigations to take care of, so we're not going to be able to stay. We thought that this conversation might be a little bit longer, but apparently not."
Oh, I can get you some to-go cups here. And he just kind of like grabs a couple like styrofoam cups and pours the coffee into them and gives them over to the officers.
Grab some fantasy styrofoam cups.
Yes, or whatever the equivalent of it is.
Fantasy styrofoam.
Fantasy red solo cups.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the two police officers make their way out of your office, and the woman leans back one more time, just says, "Once again, if you remember anything, please feel free to let us know."
Of course.
And that's the scene that I wanted to get you guys.
Nice.
I am so glad that you didn't have to roll a persuasion or deception check for that, because that would have ended so horribly.
I mean, I could have. I have dice right next to me, but...
Laura will never make another appearance in clear light ever again. That body is forever gone. Which sucks, because your disguises usually are based off of people you've seen. So there's an actual person who looks like an actual somewhere.
She's going to end up getting arrested and be like, what did I do?
A random woman that happened to be walking past the hospital that day is going to get arrested.
She's like, what the fuck? What is this? Laura, no, you're under arrest. My name is Amber.
Fortunately, at least they know that people can disguise themselves and whatnot, so they're probably not going to immediately, like, they're going to definitely be suspicious of her, but she'll probably get out of it.
Gets thrown into an anti-magic cell, doesn't change back. They're like, fuck, this isn't the right person.
Or her magic is so powerful that anti-magic stuff does nothing to it.
No, fair.
God, living in a magical society's got to be freaking wild. Just like anybody could be anybody else, and there's no way you could know.
One of these days, they need to invent like a scry machine type thing, like a video camera, where it's an anti-magic scry.
Yeah, it's like a beholder. Actually, they have that. It's the beholder eye. They use
a scry of true seeing.
Why? So you don't get catfished? What are we talking about here? I lost myself in conversation. What are we doing?
So people who are disguised to break in and steal shit.
Oh, I see.
Are caught. That's
way
even though like I don't. Even though I don't want that to happen, because then Rissa would get caught.
Eberron does seem like the kind of place that has that kind of stuff. I remember reading a bit, like, through some of the Eberron stuff. There is a thing that's like, there's a whole like magic item that enchants an area so that if anyone in the area is affected by enchantment magic, like magical unicorn like illusions start appearing all around them. So like immediately if you use a charm spell, everyone around you knows.
Yeah. I was just saying, like, that in Waterdeep, they had the Xanathar had it like a beholder eye that was able to like have like a sight that was able to watch people, and it would know if they're casting an illusion and stuff like that. So Xanathar already had that covered.
Yeah, that's definitely some Eberron stuff.
Yeah.
But that's the deleted scene.
Does Emmy ever tell Rissa about that?
Probably forgot about it, personally.
That's fair.
He turned around, looked at Alphonse, and immediately forgot everything that just happened.
Probably like a month
later. This is good coffee.
It's like, oh, by the way.
Yeah, the I don't actually know how competent the police force is in Clearlight, so we'll never know.
Hopefully it's better than
for that.
Hopefully it's better than Waterdeep.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, honestly, Rissa wouldn't be worried because they would come up to her and she would just convince them otherwise fairly simply.
True.
Also, you guys are like heroes now.
It's like, I ever do that? That's absurd. How dare you accuse me?
We have diplomatic immunity now.
What are you going to do? You going to kick me out of the city? Bitch, I saved the city. City is mine.
Everything outside the city belongs to us.
This is now Seussburg.
Seussburg. Oh,
that's how the Titanic sank.
Cannon.
No.
All right. Did you guys have anything? Like iceberg.
My ass.
Exactly, yes.
Did you guys have anything that you wanted to talk about about Clearlight, about the walls, the area outside the walls, any other lingering questions that you had about our campaign that I might or might not be able to answer for you?
I want to know, what would have happened if we were allowed to explore, if we had longer, if we were allowed to explore the city more? What kind of, did you have anything planned for like trickery inside the city?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I was planning on like the people inside the city walls like to be a much bigger factor. You know, you can see in the beginning of the show, there's like parts of it where I'm like very, you know, it's very much hinting that like people don't like that you're doing this. And there was going to be a whole like aspect of the game that involved like your PR and like making sure that, you know, people trust you and getting the general populace of Clearlight on your side for this, because, you know, there's going to be a lot of, you know, the people are very nervous about you like bringing diseases or whatever back in with you, or like a monster sneaking in when you have the gates open and that kind of stuff. So yeah, there were absolutely going to be more things involved inside the city. I was planning on having there was one whole like series of encounters that I was planning on, that because you guys are technically, like legally speaking, in order to get like your like in order for you to be allowed to carry weapons all around the city and be able to travel freely and all that stuff, you guys were technically a mercenary organization. Mm-hmm. And in order to keep your license for that, you have to do like mercenary work. So like I was planning on, you know, Malira giving you guys a random mercenary job for somebody else that was going to involve like guarding something that was being transported through the city. And of course, you know, it's D&D, it's like, so it, of course it gets attacked by bandits and gang members and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, there were definitely some other things planned for the inside the city walls that never got to happen, unfortunately, but you know, I can always use those things some other time.
Yeah, that's fair. I think it'd be fun though if like just sporadically, not like anything planned specifically, but sporadically we did like one-off little mini-sodes.
Yeah, I feel like
one or two characters.
I feel like Emmy would want to go more into that whole drug trade too. Like he would want to investigate like that whole thing, because he doesn't like the fact that this stuff is being sold illegally to people. It's probably not the best for most people to be using. So he definitely would probably be like some kind of vigilante when it comes to.
You're talking about the dream?
Yeah. Like he did not like that encounter with those drug dealers. So he would probably want to do something about that.
He probably liked it more than the drug dealers.
Well, he's an elf, so it. I mean, I'm not saying it's okay for him to use it, but it's a little bit more okay for him to use it than.
I think Greg was implying because the drug dealers died.
Yes.
Oh.
The encounter, not the drug itself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they got thrown out a window.
Yeah.
But I would like to. I would totally like to investigate that a little bit more, because it was kind of like, you know, hinted at that there was that huge problem in Clearlight, and I definitely would like to know more about that.
I think my character would also want to, like, so none of you guys actually have heard the story, I don't think, but I was on the edge of Greenwood on the first watch, and I did a backstory episode of Rissa to kind of, like, explain what caused her to become an adventurer to begin with, and what caused her to get stronger and want to become her own person other than working for her father. And it was actually really interesting, because it didn't go the way I had anticipated. Like when I started telling the story, it went a different direction. But I think because of that background story, so if you haven't listened to it, go listen to it. But because of that background story, I think she would also want to help make sure that there are better, like there aren't as many monsters there aren't monsters anymore, but like better defenses, and like also help teach people other ways of safety precautions, because now they're going to have to need to go around and relearn everything, so to speak, because they probably would have been more on the defensive when they went on a boat than on the actual like get the most fish as possible. Also, orphanage, probably. Though Mika wouldn't go there.
Oh, this is something else that I definitely had planned to do at some point. I keep hinting at like the idea of something sneaking back in with you, and I was super planning on having that happen at some point. But because there's a creature in one of the books that I was looking through, I think it's called like a Hekuva, something like that, that can disguise itself as a person to sneak into places and stuff. And I was planning on having one of those things impersonate one of you and get their way and make their way back into the city. So you guys were going to start hearing stories about somebody else, about one of you doing things that you don't remember.
Hmm.
So that was something I was planning on doing, but inside the city, but never really got a chance to. When I decided to like focus things down more on like, you know, the main story, I cut out a lot of things that I was thinking of doing when because I was planning on this being much longer. But I think it came out, you know, it's better this way, because this way we have a much more focused story, and you can eventually move on to other things in your podcast, and I can finish a story for the first time in my life. I've never actually finished a D&D campaign.
Well, I'm glad that you could finish one. Even though I would have been cool with the story continuing. But it is nice to also, like, get closure. Because the game has been going on. When do we start recording?
Oh, man. Good question.
I don't even remember.
It's been a while.
I feel like it was around the time I started my job, so probably around, like, December.
No, it was before that.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, because we didn't have issues at first.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So we started recording...
Was it, like, last summer?
Maybe.
August of 2020, yeah.
Yeah.
That was close.
The passage of time. It's wild.
Because I don't think we waited too long. Like, we got the artwork pretty quickly, and I think I ordered the artwork in August, because the first episode released in September of 2020, so it's been almost a year of episodes.
Well, almost exactly.
Actually, no. Oh, that's so funny. September 2nd was the first episode of Clear Light. September 2nd this year is the first episode of Morning Blues.
Oh, nice. It worked out.
That is weird. That was not planned.
But yeah, it would be a lot of fun if we, like, occasionally did some, like, little one-offs, just, like, kind of see how the progress of restoring Clear Light is going and stuff like that. Like, I'm sure there'd be, like, some stray monsters that make their way into our lives again, so I'm sure our jobs are not completely done.
That would be fun Patreon content right there.
Yeah, because, like, I was thinking, like, it would be cool to, like, go on, like, those expeditions for Emmy with, like, him going around healing all the wretches and everything. Like, I'm sure he ran into some issues doing that. I'm sure he wasn't just like, oh, here you go, heal, heal, heal.
Yeah, the monsters outside the walls didn't all just, like, die. They just, they run away from the sunlight, but, like, they're all still out there hiding in their little hidey holes, wherever those may be. There's definitely still a lot of work to do.
Yeah, that's fair.
Which I think
I'm really interested in all that, because, like, that I feel like that's where his, like, life really started. Like, I understand he was, like, struggling and everything through the whole adventure, but, like, now his purpose is to, like, heal all these people, and this is, like, the prime of his life right now. Like, he is just, like, super happy. He feels like his life is finally fulfilled, that he can actually make a difference, and it's just, like, his everything is just starting for Emmy.
Yeah. The Behold Clear Light ended up just being, like, it's the story of the beginning of the journey.
Perhaps
the most exciting part of it, but...
It's where we find ourselves. Yeah. To be cliche about
friendship
it.
Friendship along the way.
Friendship is magic.
Of course. That's
what I always learn from D&D.
I don't think we need to do this anytime soon, because especially if we're going to do little mini-sodes of, like, events that happen with the characters, but it would be interesting to have, like, the final death scene of everybody. Like, how they actually die, like they did in Taz, in the first show.
Yo, that messed me up, dude.
Oh, me
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I know.
I was at my desk at work, like, crying. Yeah,
a freaking baby when freaking he said Magnus rushes in. God damn it! I guess spoilers for the Adventure Zone.
Guys. No one's going to know that context, though, unless they actually watch the whole thing.
That's not super, like, a big spoiler to some. That's, like, the catchphrase the whole goddamn show, so.
You get closure, guys. That's the spoiler.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes me kind of sad, because it's probably... I'm pretty sure Emmy would probably be the last one to die.
Yeah, I mean...
Yes.
Because Grexos probably would be first.
I would be first.
Like, we would all
the end of a Clear Light.
Yeah.
Like, this is the continuing adventures of Grekthos. Oh, wait, he's not here.
Pilot canceled.
Yeah. Never play it super far in the future where you might have to play a different character, Greg.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're like, Grekthos is... I know, I was going to say that. I was going to say some, like, bastard son that he didn't know about.
Had some wild times in his youth.
And then Zeus and Rissa are both human, so they...
Oh, and...
Wouldn't last much longer.
And Grekthos' son would be, like, some, like, chair maker in a Clearlight.
I am the greatest carpenter Clearlight has ever seen.
Oh my god, we gotta make that a thing.
Always been drawn to chairs for reasons beyond my understanding.
Going on adventures to find some new legendary hardwood.
Nice.
Nice. That's why he was like super happy when like Clearlight like when they got rid of the mist and everything. He's like, oh, finally, my destiny. I can go out into the wilderness and find the perfect wood.
These corrupted trees make absolutely exquisite tables.
Until he gets to the trees over by the Titan.
Oh yeah, that tree is
by the plant monster.
Oh, that's probably I was gonna say that's probably the fate of that guy that we found in the tree. He becomes a table.
Oh god, that poor guy.
And then by the end of the adventure, he discovers the wood was with him all along.
I don't think that's how that works.
I don't know how big you think Grekthos's bastard son's dick is, but I don't think it can make it. I don't think it could be a table.
All right.
Oh, that needs to be a thing now.
I know what you meant, but my brain was like, no, we're not making what Greg just said canon. That's not allowed.
Says you it's not.
No, not that part.
I know, like my brain was just like, no.
That's how he introduces himself to people. Hi, my name is insert character name here. My dick is not a table.
All right.
Moving on.
Speaking of anything else.
Anything. Hello. Sorry for the interruption here, but I wanted to give you an advertisement for one of our friends in the tabletop community. Please give it a listen and go check them out.
Sometimes, winning a game isn't about dealing the most damage, or drawing the most cards, or making any measurable contribution towards victory. But hey, just because you don't have the stats doesn't mean you're not a f***ing gamer god, alright? Enter The Intangibles, a podcast on the Geekspective Network, where me, Kenny, and my brother Matt break down all the things that are hard to quantify in games. All kinds of games. We're talking classics like Sonic the Hedgehogs, and chess, and 3D Pinball Space Cadet. Great game, by the way. We're talking new releases like
insert latest trending games on Twitch here.
Single player, co-op, competitive, card games, board games, role-playing games, play-by-mail games, The Wakes. We do deep dives into our favorite games, digging into the intangibles that make them great and the intangibles that will make you a better player, and hey, maybe even a better person. Check out The Intangibles on whatever the heck platform you're listening to right now.
Now, back to the show.
I also, there was another thing, a set of encounters that I had planned that you guys never saw was, I was planning on having you guys have to clear out the subway tunnels before you send the train through.
Sorry, like as a sort of, the what?
The subway tunnels.
There you go. Thank you.
Yes, the sub, the subway.
Yeah, where Jared lives. We already went over that.
Right. Those tunnels were, I was planning on filling them with all sorts of nasty things. Like a Blindheim encounter was something I was planning on having for some reason. Like, I don't know, those just really stuck out in my mind.
What you said?
Blindheim. They're like frogs whose eyes glow really bright. They're like frog monsters with bright glowing eyes. So they're like...
Hypnofrog?
I was in, that's exactly where my mind went, was Hypnotoad, 100%. Yeah,
they're Hypnotoads, and I was planning on having you guys have to fight your way through the tunnels, clearing out all the Hypnotoads. I think actually, I did put in a reference with, like, you guys crashed into, like, an amphibian, like, you crashed into a creature, and, like, an amphibian leg was stuck to the windshield for a minute. I think I did say that in the actual show.
That does sound vaguely familiar.
I like the little things, like, in, I don't know if you guys remember, but I had a backup character planned, and in the episode that Ryan and I did before, he said that in one of the versions of us, Rissa was a goblin, which is what my backup character was.
Oh, nice.
So Oddmund got to be in the show.
Nice.
For at least a second.
Yeah.
She made an appearance.
Mm-hmm. Oh, speaking of, I don't actually, this has nothing, never mind.
Nope, I was saying no.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to say it, but it has,
so.
No, it has nothing to do with what we were talking about, but I was just thinking about it. Whatever, like, happened to Kai? Like, did he just stay with Gregthos, or? I don't remember, yeah, like, probably. If we explained that.
I don't think I fully discussed what you guys did with Kai, but that's kind of up to you. Kai would have wanted to either go back to being in the Titan and, like, making sure that it was restored the way it's supposed to be, or just stick with Gregthos, because Gregthos is the conduit meant to help bring divinity back into the world.
That, and he probably got comfy on his necklace. He's like, this is a nice space.
I have a very important question. Speaking of necklaces,
yes.
Are those apples all rotted now? It's been a while.
No, it's actually, the necklace has been enchanted with a druidcraft magic that causes the apples to never rot.
Yeah, I feel like you could probably just druidcraft them over and over again. Like, you probably do it each day, just druidcraft them to back to being nice again.
Well, weren't they also special, like, divination apples? Like, they weren't just regular apples. Like, you used it in one of your divination spells.
Yeah, I did use them a couple times as somewhat of a focus for some of Gregthos's divination spells. Like, which one was it? I think I reached our
Wheelant versus Woe.
That's the one. Yeah.
Augury, I just remembered.
There you go. That's the word I was trying to think of.
I never use it ever. Like, that was honestly one of the handful of times I've seen it used in a game.
Mm-hmm. I kind of feel like most of the things are going to be wheel and woe. Like, there you go.
Yeah,
like, it's never like black and white. It's always like a gray
everything
area.
Everything is going, because this is the D&D game. So it's like, I am going. Is it going to be good if we go into this scary dungeon? It's like, well, it's going to suck, but you're going to get good stuff out of it.
Yeah.
I think the only time it would be imperative is if, like, you were going to do something that was, like, way too advanced for you, if you had, like, a more open world type of system.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, like, remember, Ashley, in your game where you were, like, we were heading towards the dragon or something.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what I was just about to say. Yeah, uh-huh. Like, there's this big tower. You guys were heading towards it, and you kept heading towards it. I was, like, trying to throw stuff in front of you, being like, hey, this is a bad place to go.
Yeah, I think you literally sent, like, an NPC at us, so that was just like, don't go there. And we're like, eh, fuck you, NPC. We don't believe you.
I had a guy that was, like, half eaten by acid, laying there dead on the floor. And they were just like, da-da-da-da-da-da.
That's so weird. I wonder what caused this. We should go check it out.
We should investigate.
Yeah, I mean, we already killed half the party 10 times over. Let's do it again.
Yeah, why not?
Split up and look for clues, gang.
That's great.
But yeah, that I could see how that would be helpful in that situation if someone used that spell. I would have been like, whoa, stay away, whoa.
It's like, what,
nothing good will come out of this.
If you, also, you can, like, ask about, like, a plan, like, if this is absolutely not going to work. Like,
yeah,
if
that's a plan, true.
But nobody's ever used it in any of my games for that kind of thing. So.
I'm technically doing a similar thing with my character in our Tuesday game, which is a homebrew Cthulhu Mythos game that Ashley is running. But I'm not actually casting a spell. I'm just using tarot cards and pulling a card to determine if the thing that's going to happen is good or bad.
Yeah, she has,
thus far, it's worked almost every time.
Yeah, it's been really weird.
It's been really eerie how close it is to, like, a lot of the stuff that's been happening.
So one of the characters is like, can you read my card. I'm like, yeah, sure. And then I pull it, and it was so goddamn fitting. It wasn't even funny. And I'm just like, this is so confusing. And like, we are going to go fight something. And it's like, I got the death card. I'm like,
oh,
wait, this doesn't technically mean death, but it could be rebirth. But like, also, this is scary. Maybe we shouldn't do this, guys.
Amazing. Love it.
But like, I actually have a feature. So like, every once in a while, I can mention, hey, I'm pulling a card to determine. And I do have a feature that Ashley can step in and say something like once in a long rest or so. And just, it's like an actual truth for the story versus me interpreting the cards.
Nice.
So
the tarot cards are always a fun thing to put in games.
Yeah.
Like, I know that that was a big thing for Cursed Estrade. So I was like, that's a cool idea.
So I would like to know what everybody's favorite part was of the game.
Mine was the whole Titan thing. Like, that whole dungeon, and I guess you would call it, was amazing. There were so many good moments in that. I mean, come on, you got like the corpse flower and just like that
battle.
Which we
have a shirt for, guys. You could buy a shirt on Redbubble now.
Like, there was just so many like fun moments in that Titan, and then the fact that that's where we met Kai and everything, and I fell in love with Kai like the moment we met him. I was just like, oh my god, this is the cutest little robot.
I think that was one of the first times I've had like a full list of encounters, and we weren't allowed to rest in between, and I'm just like, no,
yeah,
no,
it was
no,
very
we need
intense.
To sleep now. We need to go to bed.
Like, I feel like that, and then like at the very beginning when we first saw that giant monster, I feel like that was like the most intense moments of the game. Like, it was just all that beginning stuff was like super scary. Like, I mean, like, of course, like the ending battles and everything were also very scary, but like, we had just been introduced to all that stuff, so it was just like, I feel like we were a little bit more on edge because we had no idea what we were up against.
Yeah, we just knew this is deadly.
Yeah.
Stuff that wants to kill us.
Like, I just remember Emmy just like looking up out of that like when he was sitting by himself while you guys were all sleeping, and he just hears this noise above him, and he's like, holy crap. Like, I don't like this. I did not hear these kind of noises in clear light.
Yeah, that was definitely
a scary moment, like the first scary moment for Emmy, that was for sure, because he was just like, I don't even know what's going on right now.
Yeah, all this, it's definitely easier to do scary stuff like early on in the game, for sure, because the characters are a lot more fragile, and I can just do all kinds of nasty things. Also, you're not like used to the way things work, and you don't fully understand like how this universe is going to function and like what kinds of things you're going to run into. So absolutely, especially in D&D, horror is easier to pull off, I feel like, early on.
But you kept the horror going, excuse me, from start to finish, dude. Like, some of those freaking monsters that you were describing to us, I still remember the creature that, like, I think it was the one that almost killed me, that like ate me, because I healed somebody, like, and I was too close to him or something like that. The way that you described that creature, still to this day, I'm like, oh god, I could just see it in my head.
Yeah. Like, as a big horror fan, like, every moment of our game was just like, just ecstasy for me, because I was just like, this is exactly the kind of D&D game I've always wanted to play, and I'm actually using a lot of inspiration from this game in my own homebrew on Tuesday, because like, a lot of that whole, like, the stuff you created was like very Cthulhu mythos, so it gave me a lot of inspiration for my story too.
Yeah, for sure. I was definitely taking inspiration from the sort of Lovecraftian things a little bit, probably not like a major, I didn't like steal a whole lot of stuff from there, but I definitely took some things that were interesting to me. I honestly, I'm trying to think of like what my favorite part was, and it's like, I really liked, honestly, like the encounter with the gelatinous cube in the hallway was really cool to me.
Oh, that was fun.
That one was just a really early on.
Yeah, I was gonna say, Seuss got eaten alive.
Yeah. We almost all did, to be fair.
I got eaten alive in like every encounter, honestly.
Just about, yeah. You got swallowed by something.
Yeah, I did. I did like the fact that we were like contemplating, like, should we fight this or should we go? Like, we were both. They were all like, just both of us or all of us were just like, hey, we should probably try to get out of this door. I don't think we can fight this thing, but at the same time, we're like, we can do it. So we were just in that like a turn. That whole conflict between like. And then the fact that our roles were being like really shitty for a while, I didn't think we were going to get out of that situation.
We were so young and naive.
Yeah, we were trying to open that damn door and we're just like, this isn't happening, guys.
And Seuss is like, don't worry, I'll get it. Jumps head first, like dives head first into the gelatinous cube.
Yeah, I got the description from the way I described it. From Matt Colville, actually, like the way he described it as just like it looks just like a floating skeleton coming towards you, and then you realize it's the skeleton is actually not the target, it's just floating inside of the gelatinous cube. Like, that to me was like, oh shit, it's like a double surprise. Like, first of all, first you're not expecting to see, you know, a gelatinous cube at all, and then you also at first think it's just like a floating spooky skelly man.
Right, and I remember us trying to decipher what it was. Like, we were worried that it was going to, like, throw the skeleton at us or some shit like that. We're like, we don't know what this thing's going to do.
Yeah, yeah, I had no idea what was going on there. I was like, oh, it's a fucking cube. It makes so much sense now. I'm going to die now.
Yeah, as you're enveloped in it. Oh.
This burning on my skin seems familiar.
Hey, guess what? God, it had like 4 hit points left when you escaped from it.
God, of course it did. Of course it did.
I am so shocked by this.
Yeah, but the tension buildup was worth it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm happy it went the way that it did.
Oh yeah. Seuss did something to the ceiling, right? I vaguely remember something like that happening.
You made the ceiling collapse.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, I think I pulled it down or something like that.
Slow it down, and that is actually what stopped it from like completely enveloping all of you at the end of the hallway. You guys had like just a few feet left because I ruled that like it's that slowed it down, and it prevented it from because it was right up against you guys at the end. So
yeah, we were about to be swallowed. Yeah,
like I felt like that was less like a just like a regular monster encounter. It was more like that whole thing they do in horror games where you have the ceiling that's slowly going on top of you and. Gonna like it is at risk of crushing you. Like that's how I felt like that whole time. Where I was just like, we're not really fighting a monster. We're just trying to get make sure we don't get crushed.
Yeah.
I was almost a Gregtho sandwich.
Yeah.
Oh man. So yeah, I think that was one of my favorites.
What about you, Greg?
Just favorite scene in general.
Yeah, one of your favorite moments.
Well, I mean, the end was my absolute favorite. The how Ryan basically did the how do you want to do this, but it was switching dimensions, so we all got to say how in that particular dimension we killed the final boss.
I
thought that was fucking incredible. I think I even said that at the end of the episode too. I was like, holy shit, that was awesome. But yeah that was cool. That just because you know it feels bad when. You know, one person gets the, like, especially if it happens a lot, where one person gets the last hit on something so they get to describe, but nobody else does. So that kind of alleviated that, which was incredible by itself. But then hearing how each of us would have killed it was, and then Ryan expounding on the explanation, it was all incredible. I loved it.
Mm-hmm. Glad you like it. Yeah, I really liked, Solf.
Yeah, that guy.
And that as the whole aspect of it, like in having like different like dimensions happening all at once was not a part of the actual monster in the book that I took it from. I just kind of added that in. And I don't know, just really fun to me, like having it swapping dimensions and changing which reality you're thinking. That was definitely my favorite creature of everything that you guys encountered. You could probably tell because you saw it a lot.
I mean, you just love saying the name. I get it.
Ursofk.
Exactly.
It's like a Ukatoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ukatoa.
Keith, you didn't do it.
I think my favorite monster. Like, I mean, I know we were just talking about scenes, but I think my favorite monster was that multi-limbed guy. Only because, like, I remember when you described it, I, like, actually kind of, like, felt sick a little bit. Like, I was just like, huh?
Multi-limbed
Which
guy.
Which one?
Yeah, there's so many.
It was the one, like, right around the time we fought the Bone Lady.
The multi-limbed guy.
Like, he was, like, all limbs and body parts. No, he wasn't, like, a Not major Malgus. Boss or anything. He was just, like, some mounds of body parts.
Right, right. I remember it. It almost killed Seuss.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Okay, it's I remember that now.
Right. But I remember
just
you...
like everything else did.
It was the leg monster what... from inside.
Yeah. Not I was inside. Like...
Inside?
Yeah, inside.
Yeah.
The meatball.
But I just remembered when you described it, I was like, I actually got like a little physically sick. I don't know if that was just from what I was drinking, but it was just like, oh God, that's disgusting. I love it. So I was just like, that was probably one of my favorite creatures.
There were
I also
a lot
did.
Of really
I also did
creatures.
Like the guy who would like randomly grow limbs to the point where he.
I just like that he kept talking.
Yeah, he was like growing limbs. And he's like, I can't move anymore.
Basically, just like not even paying attention to the fight, just sort of like monologuing the whole time. Like, oh yeah,
Like he was like that stereotypical like evil guy who is like constantly trying to tell you like everything that he's doing while he's fighting.
At least he was actually attacking while doing so instead of just like waiting.
Yeah,
he probably wasn't even trying to attack us. He was probably just trying to like scratch his back or something and we just happened to be in the way.
I realized as I said multi-limb thing, I was like, wait, there was a lot of those.
No, there was. I don't think any creature we came across did not have more limbs than it should have.
The people on the bus.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
It.
What about you, Keith?
Probably the fact that when we got the subway running, because I had that thing start at the very beginning of the game. I was like, when the hell am I going to be able to use this? Nobody can read this damn thing. I want to use it. It looks sounds so cool.
That you got hit on around that time too.
Yeah, that's when my ass became a thing.
Yeah,
when,
yeah. Yeah, it wasn't a thing prior. It formed as we were speaking about it.
Yeah, it was a real turning point for Seuss's
ass.
Yeah.
Wow.
I will say that Keith talked a lot more about Seuss's ass after that. A lot more.
Well, nobody complimented it until what's her name came around.
Ozzy,
yeah. Nobody else seemed to care. Ozzy's like, there's an ass.
I don't think it was even her that did it. Like at the beginning, it was you guys, and we all just kind of ran with it. But I don't know.
Oh no! It was the first time it came up, wasn't it? When we were with Rashael, was that her name?
Rashael, yeah.
Rashael? Yeah, because I took my cloak off and everybody's like, oh my god,
yes,
Seuss has
ass. That's when we realized that Seuss was sexy. That's what it was.
Yeah. Okay, go back time and undo something.
Yeah, that one was something I just kind of stuck in there. Like, this is going to come up way later.
Honestly, when I gave you that book and stuff. The book thing was awesome though, because it's like I like when stuff like that happens where like something seems insignificant but then it is needed. It's like it's kind of one of those reasons why when you play games like Skyrim or something where you just hoard everything because you're like, I might need this.
Yeah,
thank god for no encumbrance.
Yeah, that's a huge reason why when I DM games, I don't worry about encumbrance, like unless it becomes a fact like you're like carrying like 50,000 legendary weapons with you or something. But like I never understood encumbrance because it's like, you know, you never know when something's gonna come in handy and you're like, oh man, I have to actually like manage this stuff. Like, who's gonna go to like a bank in like a city that they're probably never gonna visit again?
Honestly, I think that's why they invented bag of holdings, just so people,
carry people everything. Could do it. Like, I think it should just be a starting item for everybody.
Or just carry around 5 giant tuna because you can.
Or, I mean, or that.
Wrong character.
Yeah.
I think my favorite parts were, obviously I love the role-playing aspects. That's always my favorite parts. So I loved it when we were either talking as a party, or for Rissa's scenes, I loved her interactions with her family, even though it was probably awkward playing my character's dad at some points.
That's fine.
I still have nightmares, thanks.
But I think beyond that, it was the scariest moment for me was the first time we faced like one of the monsters, where it came up behind Rissa.
Oh, and yeah.
Kidnapped her, basically. Oh, yeah. And I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm going to die. Like, that was my first thought, was there's no way she's going to break out of this. And I think what happened ultimately was clever on my part, not to, like, go invisible and stuff like that. But if there was a strength-based test, there was no fucking way she was getting out of that thing.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm by myself. I'm far away from my party. It's probably going to be strength-based. I'm going to die.
Oh, no.
And it was, like, episode, like, 4 something.
You do seem your characters do seem to die a lot for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know. In Ashley's game specifically, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Wonder what that is.
Not my fault.
Ashley.
True story. We were playing Frost Maiden, Rhyme of the Frost Maiden.
Yeah.
And Icewind Dale. And I am the only person who lost 3 characters. I was on my 4th character, and we were level 4.
Nobody else died. Nobody else died at all in that game. She just kept dying or leaving her characters or something.
One character left on their own.
I know. I was going to say, killed
everybody once.
That's true. He did kill all of us once. But most of us came back.
The first time character killed us all, then we came back. And then I died from a bad guy. The second
That was like immediately after that too.
Right, exactly. And she was gonna die eventually anyway, because she had something that was gonna pop out of her fucking chest anyway.
Right, yeah, she had the chest burster. Yeah.
Yeah.
After that, the new next character that she played. Was that the satyr?
Yeah.
Next. Wanted to save her. So, like, the party wasn't very good, specifically. So, the only person who actually saved my character was Keith's character. And I think it was purely Keith out of pity, not his character.
It was definitely a pity save.
And then it was... So, eventually, that satyr didn't feel like part of the party, because she was, like... Nobody gave a shit about her. So it kind of felt like awkward. Mm-hmm. And then also she was a risk because she was supposed to be sacrificed. So she couldn't actively go into towns either. So it just was more awkward. So she just left because I'm like, I'm not having fun because I'm not interacting. And that's the part I like about games, about RPGs. So then I made a ranger who was super useful. And then she died. But she was a changeling. And nobody knew she was a changeling. And she was killed by Greg.
By Greg specifically.
Technically.
Technically.
Greg Mariello.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. I showed up in game as myself. And it was like, what the fuck am I doing here, stab?
So that was, I will say, was the dice rolls. But the bad guy basically mind controlled you if you failed an intelligence check and you had to attack a random person.
Yep.
And my character had just gone down to being unconscious and I was the random person. So Greg's character was mind controlled and attacked me, which coup de grâced me. And then I refused to say what my last role was until they were done fighting. and I rolled a 2. But then I turned into a changeling, so they thought that I was a person in disguise. I was an imposter, so nobody mourned my character's death.
That was such a dysfunctional party.
And then my fourth character almost drowned because they didn't want to. They were fighting on the dock about rescuing me.
Oh god, that did happen.
I'm like, will somebody just come fucking rescue my character so I can play, for the love of Christ?
Wow.
Yeah, that.
I'm planning on running Rhyme of the Frostmaiden.
It's really fun, but it's difficult. There's some crazy monsters in that game.
Exactly what I want. We gonna kill some people anyway.
Yes, we got a little off topic.
Back,
there.
Yeah.
back to Clearlight.
It was very important topic. Okay.
It was. Speaking of parties, I really also enjoyed the little soiree you threw us, and we had to try to mingle with everybody and prove to them that we are, you know, good at what we're doing, which I think most of us did pretty well, hopefully.
I did not enjoy that part.
No, I loved it.
Oh, the party?
Yeah.
Loved the party. That was my favorite. That was one of my favorite scenes. That was fucking Rissa's, like, bread and butter.
Yeah, the whole like, everybody get on stage and do something to prove to everybody here that you're good at what you're doing or what have you, and everybody just came up and did something silly, and they were like, people were like, yeah, okay, cool. And that was
I do want to point out not everyone did something silly, only Greg though.
Oh no, that's fair. You know what, that's fair.
Yeah, that's the part I didn't like, because I had to go up and do public speaking, and I hate public speaking, even if it's in a video game.
Yeah, I feel like Emmy most of the time was either like trying to like flirt with everybody at the party, and probably I think he was drunk. Yeah. I feel like I remember getting drunk at that party.
Yeah.
I like the random moments of like cantaloupe.
Oh yeah, the cantaloupe thing.
It was just like stupid shit like that made me laugh. But honestly, like, one of my absolute favorite things about the entire thing, which I don't know if most of you have heard them, because I don't know if you went back and listened to the episodes.
I did.
But I absolutely fucking loved the recaps
that you did,
Ryan. They were so good. Every time I listened to them when you sent them to me, I would be like dying laughing on some of them, and I'm just like, this is fucking great. And then like there was a couple where I had to share with everybody else. I'm like, no, I'm sharing right now.
Yeah, like one of my favorites was with that, I can't remember his name right now, but the guy in the tree, like when he was recapping everything that was happening, I was cracking up.
Or the dismembered head in the hole.
I think that's
What it is.
Oh, is that the same one? Okay, sorry.
I was like, we took off his head. That's why we had his head going around.
Right, got it.
The only way we got him out of the tree. No, he was great. I wish we would have explored his character a little more.
We should have got him and put him on a necklace like Kai. That way she's gonna have his own little.
No, Kai. That would be an awful Kai.
He will actually
Mega Kai.
Well, I actually brought up, I think it was, I was talking to Nikki about it. I was listening to the old episodes. You know what we should do? We should probably talk to that guy, because he probably knows something about, you know, the industry and stuff that was around back then. So he probably would have some insight on this. But we never really, like, I guess we were so annoyed by him, we just never bothered to ask him about anything.
Yeah, screw like, that guy.
He was annoying.
He was from that time, so he probably would have known something. And I was like, man, we could have just, like, you know, got so much information from this dude, and we're like, oh no, he's too annoying, we're not gonna bother with
him. To be fair, when we talked to him, he thought he was a worker and was like, no,
under a crate.
I'm under a crate, it's evening, what are you talking about? Like, he did not have any knowledge of what was happening. So while he might have had like basic knowledge of like the past and stuff, I don't know if he would have been super useful if he was just like a crate worker.
Plus, I doubt he would have actually provided us any information based on the conversations we did have with him.
Yeah. Also, I just thought that mean to him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
I was just thinking he might be useful, like figuring out what like Hawthorne was and everything. Like we could have maybe found out more information about him before we ran into him. So I don't know. I feel like he could have been a useful resource if we actually like were nice to him.
Maybe.
We'll never know.
Yep.
Because I'm never going to be nice to him.
He was obnoxious.
He was.
I'm trying to think. There was definitely other things that I really liked. I'm still like wondering like how the fight with Vastikon and Baron Malgus would have gone.
I was waiting for them to show back up in the story at some point, like later, just kill us. I was waiting for it.
Emmy was like, as soon as we left the thing again, like as soon as we went back out into the wilderness and everything, I'm going to roll a perception check to make sure these dudes are not here again, because that freaked me the hell out. So I was like actively looking for them again.
Those two guys have some really crazy abilities. Vastikon has 4 attacks in a turn.
Jeez.
And if you get hit, they don't do like an insane amount of damage, but if you get hit by 3 of them, you get changed into a different creature. Like you roll on the reincarnate table.
Holy crap.
And like find out like what you turn into. Like you just, your race gets changed.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, just to be clear, is it 3 over the course of the battle or 3 in a turn?
In a turn.
Okay,
in
God.
Oh, okay. I was like, holy crap.
Need all the shield spells.
Baron Malgus can melt your limbs.
Oh, fun.
In fact, actually, I think Ursov stole that ability from him. There was a point where like Ursov was like stealing other of the Court of All Flesh's abilities to use on you guys. The part of the you guys had absolutely no way of finding this out, or well, you had a way, but you never really spent a lot of time talking to him. But those two were actually killed by Foyas and his gang. Huh. That's why you never saw them again, and that's why Ursov was able to steal their abilities.
Oh,
because Ursov can just use any of the abilities from all of the court if they died.
Oh, interesting. Here I thought it was just.
What he's really doing is just pulling them from a different reality for them to attack.
Right. Here I thought that was just you like, man, I didn't get to use these cool abilities for these monsters. Here we go, last boss, you're going to do everything.
Maybe. But yeah, those two were some crazy things. And putting them together, I was like, they might die. So it's probably for the best that you ran away.
Yeah, and that whole chase sequence was really cool too, by the way.
Yeah, that was fun.
Oh yeah,
like us being like creating these random things that happen and roll for it based on what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think I've ever actually experienced a chase scene like that interesting, because like normally it's like, oh, we'll just see how far away you can get from the person, but you actually made us like make like obstacles and all that fun stuff, so that was cool.
Yeah. I've never actually run a chase sequence like by the rules in D&D, so I don't know like how that would go, or if that's fun or not. But
it's
like,
not very fun.
Making
I've
a new
it.
Skill challenge was more interesting to me, especially I think at the time I had just learned about skill challenges, so yep. I was eager to do it.
Yeah, if you follow the rules in D&D, it's like it's really hard to keep track of, because you have to make sure you keep track of like all the distance, and it's just like it's too much work. Like I just was like, I like the way you did it better. I've taken like inspiration from that, because like I've been doing skill check stuff instead of actually like following the rules, because it's a lot more interesting.
Well,
you're in my inspiration, Ryan.
Ryan, I can't believe it.
But actually, that means a lot to me that you're like, people are stealing my shit. That's so awesome.
in this context,
I wouldn't say stealing.
No. See, okay, I don't in my mind in stealing in D&D, like plagiarism is like great. Do it.
Yeah.
Everybody should do it more. Take shit that you like, put them in your game. Steal from everything that you enjoy, because it's gonna make your games better.
Yeah,
you don't have to come up with everything on your own. just like push, take the stuff you like from all different kinds of things and mash them together, put them in a blender, and then pour them on your party's heads so that they can be covered in your delicious D&D smoothie. Yeah. I think I've had this conversation before. Now that I'm saying it out loud.
That sounds like a normal conversation.
I think that was a conversation I had with Nikki in the solo one. I was like, dump D&D smoothies on your friends.
Yeah, if anything the listener should get out of this is, like, just listen to actual plays, because, like, I'm telling you, like, the amount of actual plays I've listened to and been a part of and all that stuff, like, you get some pretty badass ideas for your own campaign. So it's definitely, like, it's like when you watch a YouTube video to learn how to crochet. It's, like, the same concept. Like, you hear other people's ideas and it makes you form some of your own, and it's just a really good thing to listen to get a lot of different ideas, because just reading a book is cool and all, but it's not as great as just experiencing it at the same time, because you could kind of get a feel of how people do certain things, like how certain DMs DM and how players play. And I don't know, I feel like everyone should try to listen to as many possible actual plays as they can, because you get so many different ideas from each one.
Yeah, and it can help you, like, it helps you establish your own style, because you can find out, like, what other people do, what other things that you like come from other, you know, games. Because, like, you know, Matt Colville runs a very, very different game than Matt Mercer, who runs a very different game from Griffin McElroy, who runs a very different game from Maz. I think that's somebody. Probably. I've never actually listened to that person's D&D game before. But, They're all going to run games differently, and then you can sort of take the things that you like from each of them. It shows, because I feel like if you only experience like one DM style of thing, it's going to cause you to like have a lot of preconceptions about like the way D&D is supposed to be that don't necessarily have to be that way. Mm-hmm. And I mean, yeah, that can be good. Like, you obviously should be learning from the other people, but like if you learn from many people, you can like see that there's a lot of different ways to go about a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
And that's the important part to me.
Look, you guys got some extra DM tips along with this episode.
I kind of do that just passively.
Yeah.
My cantrip. just shout at people to steal shit from things they like. On the subway, or the subway, whichever one I'm happening to take that day. There's no subways around me. What I wanted to know, like, what was something that you wish that we could have done that we never got a chance to do?
I mean,
or something you wanted to do that we just, like, we missed out on, or just, like, either because of the dice rolls or just because, like, we had to cut stuff short or anything like that.
I wish you would have made Ethan Hawke talk to me more.
That's true.
I tried to get his attention so many times during that game, and he just ignored me.
That's how he is, but also... You're right. I want to learn from this experience as well.
I want to know
find out what the player's like.
I want to know the backstory of Simon.
I think we all would like to know that.
That would be true.
That I will never tell you.
Oh.
I
refuse.
I'm going to roll a persuasion check.
Simon must remain an enigma.
We actually find out he was born from the mist.
Maybe. Simon is my auntie. Like, for the people who've played Control.
Oh, yes. Yes.
To me, it's like, I like it better that I don't know. Every single time I talk to Ati, I was like, what are you?
He's that janitor guy, right?
Yeah, he's the janitor.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
I love him.
But you start off thinking he's just like a janitor, but like right from the start, he's just doing like weird shit that doesn't make any sense. He responds to Jesse's internal monologue constantly.
Right, yes, I do remember that.
My first playthrough.
Yeah, I did too. When I played it the second time, I was like, oh, shit.
I was like, she didn't say that out loud. Why is he responding to that? What is Ati? As much as I ask that question, I like it better that I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
No idea what you're talking about.
You need a troll then, because it's amazing.
I have it. I just never touched it.
You need to play it.
Yeah, it's my game of the year for the year that it came
That's
out.
That's one of my all time favorite games ever.
The next time we go over to Ryan's house, we're gonna go into his room, and it's gonna be like the It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia scene where Charlie has like the freaking papers on the wall with like string attached to him. It's like, what is Ati in the middle of the thing? And it's just like strings going off to different directions and different pictures. Like, Ryan, are you okay?
Well, in order to find all that, you're gonna have to cleanse the control point first, which, I mean, I don't know if you're gonna be capable of doing that, but
I think we're getting off topic even again. More confused now.
We're getting off topic again.
It's what we do.
Yeah,
I mean, it had correlation with what Simon was, so
yeah,
there was a connecting thread.
Yes. But yeah, I don't know, like, I feel pretty complete from our game. I mean, there was certain parts, I guess, like, maybe we could have delved more into. But like I said, like, that's mostly something I said we could do, like, one-shots of. And mostly it's just the stuff that has happened afterwards that I'm more curious about than anything that happened in the game.
My biggest thing is just always going to be, like, more in-city stuff. But we've discussed that, so...
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, we didn't spend a lot of time in the city, which I do kind of regret that. I wish we would have, like, kind of did that. We were always so, like, eager to go out, which I don't know why we were.
Well, my character was hype. My character was created to be in the city. Bonus, like, she could do things outside, but like, she was the person that was going to do all the talking inside to, like, do all that stuff. You can only persuade one monster.
Yeah, I love that was one of my favorite things that, like, during the game is like, can I, like, try to persuade this monster? I'm like, you could try.
Yeah, I did recognize that, like, you know, Drissa was super specialized, like, built for, like, what's non-combat encounters, role playing and stuff like that. So, like, that's part of the reason I put the party in there, because I wanted you to have, like, no, yeah, Drissa's gonna absolutely destroy this.
Yeah. And that's why I went all out. I'm like, this is my dress, and I'm all it's all fancy.
Yeah.
I'm still
that everybody has a chance to shine.
I'm still super confused as to why Hawthorne Industries had an aquatic mammal as their mascot.
Oh my god, Greg. Shut.
I can't even fully remember why.
Why that makes me so angry.
I can't even remember from where that came.
There was a seal. But...
Yeah, there was a sealed door. The vault door was sealed.
There was oh, God.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
All right, that's where we're going to end.
Everybody get a groan in? All right, here we go.
Oh, my God.
Well, it has been an hour and 15, so ending on that note probably is a good idea. I mean, I would ask, usually at this point I'd say, where do you want everybody to follow you? But none of you really use your social media.
No.
Yeah, I have, I think I've made exactly one post on my Twitter account. Damn. I made my Twitter account specifically to like something that, or follow a friend of mine who was trying to increase her presence online or whatever. I have not touched it.
I have been using my Twitter more, but it's mostly just to post horror memes. So if you want to follow horror memes, follow at Rainbow Rain.
And if you do find me, don't follow me. I don't want to.
Yeah. It creeps me out. Don't follow me. I will call the police.
Go follow Matt Colville.
There you go.
You'll learn a lot about D&D, probably. I'm trying to think. There must be something that I wanted to... Oh, go follow Bob Worldbuilder on YouTube and Patreon and whatever else he has.
Go follow our Patreon?
Also our Patreon. Do that first.
Yes, please.
And then consider supporting Bob Worldbuilder on Patreon. He's helped me a lot in prepping for my next D&D adventure that I'm hoping to run. And also just, like, this in general, he's cool. I like him. like his face. Anyway.
And also, as we mentioned before, we have shirts.
We do.
Yeah.
If you want inside jokes on your chest, you can have that.
We currently have...
I love that tagline.
We currently have You're Within 10 Feet of the Corpse Flower.
Classic.
Classic one. And you take the blush action with both the anime blush lines and D20 blush symbols, I guess. I don't fucking know. They're on there, though. So, and I have lots and lots of quotes that could potentially be shirts.
Yeah, you've been periodically sending them to us.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. I just gave you a new one. Inside joke on your chest. I don't know. I'm kidding.
That should be the name of our store.
Absolutely.
Not the actual.
Honestly.
That doesn't go on a shirt. That's where you. That's the name of the place you buy. Although you did say Redbubble, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I will have the link in the description down below. I used to use Stream Elements, but Stream Elements kind of isn't great, honestly. One, they don't go to extra large sizes. And two, even though they have a code form, like a place to put a discount code, they haven't created a discount code, even though it was suggested like 3 years ago.
Wow.
So I'm like, why don't you have a discount code?
It's silly.
The shirts are comfy, but whatever. So on that note, if you did enjoy the Clearlight Crew, you can still listen to the episodes over again. You can help support Patreon, because then hopefully you will enjoy the next show, The Morning Blues, which is coming up. Mika is in that show.
Yeah, everything that Nikki has told me about it makes, I'm just like, ooh, that sounds wild. I love it.
Honestly, it's so much fun. It's very chaotic as fuck. It's Rissa Mika's was a... not chaotic. Mika is chaos incarnate.
Yeah, Mika's a fun character.
Yes, I like
both it. As a tiny child and also as an adult D&D character.
Adult, quote unquote. But yes, so you can find The Morning Blues game. It starts September 2nd. I don't remember what day this episode goes out. Hold on. Let me double check. Ba-ba-ba. So this Thursday is the first episode of The Morning Blues, so please go listen to that. It was such a fun episode to record, and you can get to meet our new cast of people. But if you do want to talk to everybody here, at least Ryan is in the Discord, the public Discord server. I think Greg is too.
I am. I'm there.
You're going to have to tag me if you want to get my attention.
Same.
Keith is there, but he won't respond.
Happy to talk to y'all.
But there is a spoiler section, so you can talk in there and tag the Behold Clearlight cast, and then maybe someone will answer your questions if you have any questions or if you have any shirt suggestions. And you can just find it there. And if you go on our Patreon, I'm hoping soon we'll have some of those little side mini-sodes, because that sounds like a fun idea, actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
Other than that, you can find me at Beholder to No One on Twitter, and you can also find me at Dice Before Dawn or Sound Control RPG. Every other Wednesday, currently, you can find a episode where I DM for Awfully Queer Heroes, and for the next couple of weeks, you can find me on Roleplay Lives on Friday nights playing as a ghosty ghost. So come and watch that live. And I think that's everything I need to pimp out, I guess. Maybe. Probably not. All right. Thanks for being awesome, and thank you guys for making the first actual play a success.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ryan.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. All right.
Thanks, y'all. It's been great.
Bye.
See you later.
We love you.
Bye.